Hey, I asked the question earlier this week. I have the same question for you today at the end of the week. Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. The question is this: what or who is most intentional in the life of your sons, daughters, grandchildren, those little ones, or maybe young adults that you love? Is it the TikTok messages, or is it their friends, the entertainment, the news, whatever? The question is, who's got their ears and who's got their heart? I heard it said by one secular leadership expert. He said, we become what we think about over an extended period of time. And that's true. And frankly, our kids become what they're exposed to over an extended period of time. And listen, this is a battle. For you guys that are parents, young parents today, we've been down that road, my wife and I, but this was years ago. We didn't face some of the challenge you're all facing today. I know you got some really unique, powerful input when it comes to what goes on with social media, TikTok, Instagram, their friends, the access that they have to the world that, frankly, many of the older kids and past generations didn't have. And so it was a little different for parents. Same overall issues, but not the same technological challenges to try to stay in a place where you can, I can't say the word control your kids because that's not the goal, but you certainly can build an environment and set the boundaries for your kids, as the Bible says, that hedge of protection around them and your family, that they can learn the worldview, be taught what a biblical worldview is all about, because ultimately they're going to make a decision about their own worldview. And I certainly want that at the top of the list for our kids and grandkids. So what one thing are you doing in your homes? That's the question. We got callers ready. You can leave your comment at 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's get at the calls. Nora is first in Michigan. Hi, Nora. How are you?
Hi, Randy. I'm great. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Appreciate your call. How do you relate to this? What's your one thing?
My one thing that I do for my kiddos, I make sure that I incorporate my own personal prayer and worship so that they can see it really hands-on. Because a lot of times I believe that they don't really get to, the children nowadays, they don't really get to see people really go through things and worship God through that. And yeah, to understand what life really comes with, trials and tribulations, but that he'll carry us through those seasons. So I like to be really transparent with my children, especially when it comes to the Lord, because God is a faithful God and he's going to carry them and he's going to be there for them.
Amen. Now, what's an example of that, Nora? Can you give us a real example in your life that you've done that with your kids?
Yes. Yeah, so actually, in December last year, I got into a really bad car accident, and I was really transparent with my kids. So the day before, it was December 4th, and the Lord spoke to me through the Holy Spirit and said, hey, don't go to work and don't take the kids to school. And I'm like, I got to go to work, God. You know, I got to work. I got to make money. And then I heard the Spirit say, you don't trust me that I won't be there for you? And I'm like, no, God, I got to go to work. So my kids were supposed to be at school at 7:40. I left my house at 7:25. By 7:27, I was in a car accident and totaled my whole car with my children in the car. And the first thing my daughter said to me, she said, Mom, God told you don't go to work. And I was like, wow. And when they think from the point of me and my disobedience, then followed up to like having to wait to get a new vehicle and, you know, kind of look for support and help with that. And now we have a new vehicle. Thank God our church family came together and put in on us to get a new vehicle. But I was really grateful that I'm alive and my kids are alive, but also that they get to see that sometimes we go through things in life and the Lord, even when we're disobedient, he'll be there for us and he'll carry us through those seasons. But I was glad that they were of age to know, like, hey, you know, mom made a mistake. And I had to really sit down and talk to God. And, you know, God told me, because I told my daughter, I'm like, do you want to go to school? Because I feel in my spirit, the Lord saying, you don't go to school today. She's like, I don't want to go to school. And then I'm like, nope, you're going to go to school. I don't know why I did that.
Wow.
I don't know why I did that.
Well, you know, the Bible says God has a way of moving in mysterious ways. And I frankly don't understand when I hear testimonies like yours, how that all works. But God does, he speaks to us in different ways. And of course, we always have to be discerning, as it says, to know, is this of God or is this of my own flesh or my own self? But hearing God speak to you, that's a powerful thing. Now, it says here, first-time caller, 93.1, so I assume you're in Metro Detroit listening.
Yes, I am.
How'd you find the station, Nora?
I I wish I could tell you. I do not know. I actually just came from taking my youngest daughter to the doctor's office, and when I got back in my car, it was changed to a different radio station that I had not tuned it to. And this is my first time ever hearing you guys' radio station. And when I was driving, I'm like, I heard the guy speaking before me, and I'm like, I felt in my spirit, I'm like, I should call in. I'm like, should I?
And are you talking like, about today? You just found the station today?
Yes, today, 30 minutes ago.
So you got in your car and it was on another station and all of a sudden it's on 93.1?
Yes. I'm telling you, this is the truth. Like, I don't.
All right. Now it's getting really different in here, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you, I don't know. God moves in mysterious ways. Or we've got somebody running around Metro Detroit getting in cars saying, I'm going to switch that station over to 93.1, which, by the way, is a great idea for rental cars. Whenever I get a rental car in one of our station areas all over the country, I don't know if I should do that or not, but I change all of the buttons to the station. I figure that's one little thing I could do. There's a mission for you. It's those of you who get in rental cars or use other cars to say, okay, I can do that one thing. Find the Family Life station or your Christian station, your area, and say, I'm going to put all the buttons. You never know. Someone tunes in for the first time, hears the gospel. You don't know. All right. Thank you, Nora. Glad you're listening. Keep listening. You're going to love it there, 93.1. Lots of good things all day long to encourage you. Let's go to Felicia in Michigan. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What are you learning about this one thing in following God and a worldview and so on?
Loving and trusting Him, giving Him, you know, your heart to know that He's actually there for you. Because He is.
What's going on? What's going on? I hear the tenderness. What's your journey?
Lost my children and grew up with parents who didn't go to church. Still trying to get them in there. Just pray. Loving, having pastors that are really there for me. Because the Lord actually put Him on my heart. I was going to deliver dirt to Tawas, and there was a garage sale, and He kept telling me, go over there. I said, no. I said, go over there, tell Him, you know, Jesus loves you, and He set me free on an addict, and He's changed.
Now, you said you're a recovering addict?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Do you have support for yourself?
Are
you
plugged in there?
Are you plugged into a good church, Felicia?
Yeah. I don't know. I get scared sometimes still because of, you know, the past and the hurt. And I know He's there, though. He still hasn't given up. But He sent me to that place, and they were pastors.
Yeah.
And that is my plug to my church. Yeah. He actually guided me that day. He's like, go. And I was like, no. Three times the Holy Spirit was like, hey, go there. And I was like, nah. And then finally, the third time I got out, and I was like, okay, I'm going. And yeah, He got me involved with that church, and they are wonderful, wonderful people. They struggled with addiction and alcoholism and stuff like that themselves, so they knew.
So you're getting good support then for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, how long have you been on this journey? When did you come to Christ?
When I was a little girl, maybe 10, 11, I started to go to church.
So you really just wandered and you're coming back.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying, for sure. I'm trying. Just the hurt, the depression, losing my children, it made me want to give up on life. It made me hate myself, the pain that I've hurt people with growing up when I was on drugs and, a lot of stuff He makes you look at. And it's really beautiful, though.
Can I speak into your life for a minute? Is that okay? Would you give me permission to do that? Listen, let me tell you what I hear, Felicia. I hear a young woman with a boatload of issues. And yet you're reaching out and you're got the hand of God and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you. But I hear a lot going on. And that's understandable. You know, the Bible teaches us, Felicia, that ultimately when we experience the peace of God, peace comes into our life. And the Bible says if we're feeling anxious, you know, it says to us in the book of 1 Timothy, that God's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Paul tells us in Philippians, he says that we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication. There's three things there. Prayer, constantly saying, Lord, I need you today. And then he goes further to say supplication, which the word supplication isn't something we use today. We don't go around and say supplication. But what, as I understand that word to mean biblically, is we're really like going to a daddy and saying, "Daddy, I need you." It's almost like that. Like your arms out as a little child and saying, "Daddy, I'm afraid or I'm anxious. I need you." And then with thanksgiving, that gratitude that comes, knowing that God will never leave us. So, Felicia, I'm thrilled that you're plugged into a church, teaching the word and finding strength. Get into a support group if you can. Make sure you're doing that so you keep the support, because Satan's going to come after you. And I'm glad you're listening to the radio station, whichever one there in Michigan, to Family Life, whichever station it is. Allow that 24 hours a day. Just allow that to be a kind of a soundtrack for your life, feeding your life, building into your life every day. Stephen, talk to Felicia offline if you can, and find out if she's got a Bible. If she doesn't, would you send her the intentional word, the chronological Bible? Felicia, a lot of people will be praying for you. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I turn on Intentional Living with my husband, and just whatever has come up that day have just been spot on to what we were going through at that moment.
Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson made a difference in Felicia's life and marriage. And when you give, you help people like Felicia live an intentional life for Christ.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to content from Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years.
So don't wait. Give now and get Dr. Randy's exclusive teachings whenever you want.
To give and receive these life-changing resources, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Yeah, it's two Felicias. That's a different Felicia. But listen, if your name's Felicia or whatever it is, your name, we're here to love you in the name of Jesus and to encourage you in your journey in life to be intentional, not be perfect. This is not called Perfection Radio. I don't think anybody listened to that. Perfect, because I'm not perfect. Jennifer now is perfect, but not me. We're simply here to be on this journey with you, because here's what we figured out. You can either live an unintentional life, which is full of busyness, activities, tactics, maybe in your business, you got a lot of tactics, things you're doing, but at the end of the day, you don't have the why, as a caller said earlier. You're not clear on the why. And that creates, I'll tell you what that creates, fatigue. If you're feeling weary, I mean, not the kind of healthy weariness that we get in life, but the unhealthy weariness, maybe ask yourself, do I have my why straight? That's intentional. That's the goal. Or on the other hand, you may know what the why is, but you're not good at what and how to do it. And that leads to procrastination. Either of them lead to mediocrity. Intentional living is getting the why and the daily what I do together. That's really what it is, not perfection. Because you can never be perfect enough or intentional enough to get yourself into heaven. That is the gift of God, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9. Is a gift of God by grace, right? Through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. But it goes on to say in verse 10 that we are his workmanship, and we have been created for good works. In other words, how we live. We're not saved by good works, but we're created for them. So those who struggle with, how do I get to heaven? It ain't through your works. But after we come to Christ, it makes sense, doesn't it? We'd want to be children to follow him intentionally. And that's really what we talk about here. There's where the peace is. That's a sweet spot when it comes to problems. If you're not experiencing God's intention for your life with your finances, your marriage, in this case, in parenting, then ask yourself the question, man, maybe I'm not really either understanding what a worldview is as a Christian, or I'm not living it out. And we're here just to encourage you on that journey. Okay, let me go to Kelly, who's been waiting patiently in Kansas. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine.
Thank you for your patience. What one thing have you been doing to be intentional with your kids and so on?
Well, I was listening to you, and I know you said don't bring up that you go to church and things will be okay. But I'll tell you what, going to church has been one of the biggest learning aspects for my children and my grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Because in church, they learn and they watch and they see people receive Christ.
Yeah.
And they see people rededicate their lives.
Absolutely.
And they've seen that the seed that they sow by telling other friends or other relatives, Jesus loves you, that's a seed. And they get to see what happens to that seed.
Absolutely.
So I'm a big, big, big advocate of going to church. And the in-laws on both sides, they know not to call us when it's service time because we're not going to be there.
Hey, listen, I absolutely, by the way, I want to be real clear. I'm 100% advocate of church. I mean, we believe as a ministry, yes, and believe personally. My wife and I are deeply involved in our church. Our church is so busy, so full of people that we have to go to the 8 o'clock service now on Sunday to get a seat. Now, you talk about dedication, you have to get up that early. But you're right. My point is this. A lot of parents drop their kids off on Sunday and say, that's enough. I'll pick them up. And they got their, quote, religion or Christianity for the week. That's not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough. It begins in the
right
home. Ultimately, as parents, we're responsible for the training of our children, not the church. The church is to support,
exactly,
be supportive of what goes on in the home. So I agree 100%.
Yeah. And I agree with that too. Been involved in lots of bus ministries. And we even teach them that we love them and how to love them. And we just treat them like our own children. So that is the one thing that is stable. You know,
that's
even
right,
our kids are growing up and they know that, well, I know we're, mom and dad are, you know, gotta
right
wait to call them or whatever. And when they come back for counseling, if they've done something wrong, you can always tell where their heart is and where their mind is at the moment, because they'll either call us or they'll call somebody that's not saved.
Mm, absolutely. That's good stuff. Thank you for that call and for clarifying that. I want to make sure that's clear. Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it. We're talking about worldview today, and it was based on some radio scripts, I think they are, articles that Stephen gave me from our friend Kirby Anderson for his radio show Probe, little spot that they do. It's really sort of a worldview radio feature, help us look at our worldview. And they were quoting some research they've done and also from Barna out of Phoenix. And one of the points he makes in this article is most parents, including the word evangelicals, and by the way, that word is so misunderstood today. It's got so many, unfortunately, political ramifications to it. But most parents, including evangelicals, do not possess a biblical worldview to pass on to their kids. The syncretism of other words, we put all of these different religions together and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And that's why we are so passionate about what does the Bible teach? We're getting back to the basics of what does the scripture teach? That's critical. That's what we're talking about here today. Let's go to TJ in Arizona. How you doing? You win the Patience Award today, TJ. Thanks for waiting. Are you there?
Oh, I am here.
There
I'm
we
here.
Go.
Hello.
There we go. Go right ahead. What's what's your one thing, TJ?
I appreciate that. So many levels. I'm like, wow, and humbled and amazed at some of these callers, particularly that Felicia, because
yes,
it doesn't matter how far, and I'm going to try and not be choked up about it, how broken or how whole we think we're coming from the situation, because at the end of the day, we couldn't get any closer towards perfection than Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Mm. And there in the midst of perfection, you have kids with perfect, infinitely perfect, perfectly loving father, and they still went astray.
Yes.
So even more so in just how broken, maybe this world now is as broken as it was back, you know, in Cain and Abel and Lamech Day because that was pretty ugly, and we know because Noah was in short order, right?
Yeah.
But I bit off the whole enchilada with respect to meeting with the responsibility I felt to be in charge of just the mandate, you know, like what you just said from Deuteronomy, because that was the thing that hit me, like rising, like laying down when you're walking, when you're along the way, which is right. Like, okay, that's when we're in the car, right?
Yep.
And went full on into homeschooling away from professional career, away from medicine. My husband and I, both physicians, and just feeling the weight of the responsibility in the day and age that our kids are being raised in, maybe because of just the medical landscape, but between like myself and a fellow church member who was also a youth pastor, who was a prosecuting attorney, I just know both of us, his wife also, you know, stepped away from law because the kids are in such a dire need. And I'll tell you what I feel most and more than anything, now that I have adults, children on the backside, and I still have another student left that I haven't completely shaped their mind and really laid the framework and groundwork in. Because now that the olders are there, they're still going to choose their own path. They're still going to be, you know, their vista launching out into the world is still like, oh, wow, look at everything that's out there. And, you know, whether they're coming from a perspective of like, wow, mom and dad, what all did you hide from us? Which wasn't much when you have a physician in medicine and a prosecuting attorney as their youth pastors, they literally would go like, okay, between the two guys, enough. We hear way too much. Like, his deal was, I have two things, stay married and love Jesus. And then you won't end up in, you know, divorce court or something worse. And, mine was, definitely, I just realized, how much could I overload them? And the one thing that I am hanging on to, because even within homeschool, the mantra is kind of like, children are a 30-year crop. It's mm-hmm. getting them to the point where they're having to lay down the rails for the next generation themselves. Like, which way are they going to go? And the one that I can land on was a prayer that I still pray over my youngest one when we start a school day. Because honestly, I don't want to say the biblical foundation hasn't mattered, but they have to test the waters of their own faith. And, right. And it is my prayer that when I pray with them, because we're learning a lot, but whatever age, it's like, Holy Spirit, I bless their eyes and ears and lips, their heart and mind and their hands and feet, Lord, that they would hear and see the wonders of your creation and know and comprehend deep in their spirit the great, great love that you have for them, that they would go and reach out and touch the world with that same love.
Wow. Now, that's I'll tell you what, you're leaving a legacy. Those kids are going to grow up and say, my mom, my doctor mom, who said she's going to stay home, make this a priority. And do you have any regrets in making that decision?
So I haven't reached that 30-year harvest. And that's why Felicia came mm-hmm. to mind, though, because they still have very fallen parents. And it's a tug of war. It's a struggle within relationships, within home dynamics. They're going to find whatever reason to stray, and the enemy's going to find whatever pothole or, you know, whatever broken fence or open door that he can to take it.
Mm.
So, regrets-wise, there's that other scripture that I hang on to, which is wisdom is justified by her children. I will find out whether I was, you know, way over the top and too much of a helicopter mom and, you know, like enough of this, you know, beating our heads with the Bible or whatever, or whether I was a wise builder. And so I personally am waiting.
And I think I know what that's going to turn out. I just have a suspicion. If you got smart kids, because it sounds like they have smart parents, are going to process all that. And they might come in later and say, Mom, you were a little much at times, because I think kids do that. But you know what? I'd rather have my kids come to me and say, you know, you were a little much at times, but I love you for it, than to have them come to me and say, Mom, you weren't enough, and I'm hurting for it. Now, listen, thank you, TJ. You may not be a medical doctor or a prosecuting attorney. In fact, whatever your life is about doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what does matter is what your life focuses on, what your priorities are. And that's been the purpose of the program today and from last Tuesday, this previous Tuesday. If you missed it, I hope you'll listen to it. We've had powerful calls all around the country, people just saying, hey, I got to get the worldview out to my kids. And I think TJ's an excellent way to close the show, because she said it's a 30-year process and you and I don't know what the outcome's going to be. Maybe you've been a parent, done a really good job. You've done everything you needed to do and your kids have rebelled. They've walked away, made world decisions, worldview decisions that you don't understand. And you continue to pray for them. And I know other parents who have maybe not done as good a job, and God's spoken to the kids' lives and they woke up to a relationship with Him. I mean, we don't write the ticket of the outcome of our kids, but I stand with what the Bible teaches us, that the way we train up our child does impact their lives, and later on they become the kind of bent that begins early in their life. Which the Bible, by the way, that verse reminds us that we need to know the unique bent of our kids. Don't try to bend them in a direction that God didn't intend for them to go. Now, I'm not talking about their spirit. I'm talking about how God wired them. And you're going to have some kids that are strong-willed. That's just the way they are. God can use that child in ways that you can't even imagine. I could tell you a story, too. In our own life, our own family, powerful, positive stories. Other times, you got kids that are more reserved, more introverted, and that's okay, too. God uses all the variety of different colors and shapes and skills and talents of people. The body, right? That's what the Bible teaches. All right. Jennifer says, I got to stop. She comes out with the music. That's sort of a get out of here message. What do you think? You want to add to this discussion? Add to what you heard from TJ or Felicia or Nora or Kelly today? Give us a call on our comment line, 888-888-1717. We love you guys. Stop and ask yourself the question, who or what is most intentional in the life of your son or daughter? And what should it be? I'm Dr. Randy. We'll be back. More Intentional Living next time. This is Intentional Living, the ministry of Intentional Life Media.